All right, well, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for these ladies, an opportunity to meet together today as we continue to look at the fruit of your Spirit. And what a privilege to think that we can live that way. I pray you'll keep us encouraged with it. Give me wisdom now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, that review that I go through each time, we are either in of one of two conditions at any point as a believer. We are either walking in full dependence upon the Spirit of God and He's empowering us, or we are walking in the flesh, dependent upon ourselves. And the fruits of the flesh are not pretty. The fruits of the Spirit are wonderful. And so as we go through this study, it is an opportunity for you to be able to gauge yourself in a very tangible, practical way. Where are you and how much are you living in the fruit of the Spirit? Remember, it's not fruits plural of the Spirit, it is the fruit of the Spirit. When you are in the Spirit, you will see all of those virtues showing themselves. Obviously, you will develop in those virtues, and God will give you more understanding. He'll give you more of a renewed thinking about it, but still, it's not like you work on one and then the next, but yet on the same time, we need to understand more about each facet of the fruit of the Spirit, and that's what we're doing in this study. And what's exciting, if you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's a great, great promise. Well, we're looking at one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that is often maybe overlooked because it's a little bit difficult to understand, and that is the fruit of the Spirit is faith. The reason it's a little difficult to understand is that faith is that which is to be initiated by us, obviously God enabling us, but faith is a decision of our will to put our dependence on the Word of God, the specific truth of the Word of God, and then God empowers us as we do that. And that is faith. But here in this context, it's the idea of walking regularly in faith. God brings you from faith to faith. He's giving you wisdom. As you're walking in the Spirit, you are being led to faithfulness. In other words, ongoing, regular steps of faith. It's that spiritual walk that we've talked about. And so it's when we talk about faithfulness, you can think about it purely as being a faithful person from a human standpoint. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being a faithful, filled person whose life is consistent because of the Spirit, not just because of our own determination. Are you with me on that? So it's faith, it's the idea of our trusting in the Lord, but it's the regular exercise of faith that the Spirit of God will enable us to do so that we can be what we consider faithful. And so this really gets down into some nitty-gritty of the Christian life, but it's encouraging when you think about it, and it's the idea that God wants us to be faithful. Now let me just ask you, are you thankful that God is faithful? Great is thy faithfulness. So we're talking about one of the key characteristics of God that mean much to us, and that is we can count on God to keep His word, to be consistent, to be regular in His working in our life. He is faithful. He is our rock. He will do what He said He will do. Are you thankful that Jesus is the faithful one? And so that's one insight that we have here. And then the care of faithfulness. And this is helpful. Faithfulness is defined as loyalty, trustworthiness, or steadfastness. It's a person who is spiritually reliable. And, you know, this characteristic is less seen today probably than ever, where you can really count on a person to be reliable, to be faithful. It's a person that's faithful not only in deed but in word. So that's a lot to think about. So God is faithful, and just like God is faithful, a Spirit-empowered Christian will be faithful. And let's just look at some of the marks of faithfulness. A believer will follow through on whatever they've said they will do. They'll come through no matter what. They'll deliver the goods, whether a message or a meal. They'll show up even when others won't worry about something. They'll keep their word. They'll keep their commitments and appointments. You won't find them canceling. They'll be successful. They'll successfully transact business, carrying out instructions given. Of course, a lot of this is the Proverbs 31 woman. She discharges her official duties in the church, doesn't neglect being what she ought to be in the ministry. She is devoted to duty, just as Jesus was in accomplishing the will of God. Wow. So we're talking about, like I said, this gets down where the rubber meets the road. When the Spirit of God is in control of our life, we are faithful in the things that God has given us to do. And another perspective is that it's the opposite of faith. The opposite of faithfulness are things that we often see. One of those opposites is fickleness. A lot of people who change their minds, change their loyalties, change their standards, change all kinds of things. They are impulsive. And so that's one aspect of the lack of faithfulness. Another one that she gives is unreliable. A person cannot be depended on. They do not come through on what you're asking them to do. And that's always a difficult thing. And then another insight is the essence of faithfulness. And that is, it's a person who does what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it, though they don't feel like doing it. You know, that's sort of a good definition of character, doing what is best or right, even when you don't want to do it. By the way, the flesh never really wants to do right. Have you ever noticed that? Never wants to do the best thing. Never wants to go to the level that it ought to go. I mean, we fight that all the time. And it's a faithful person is empowered by the Spirit of God to do what they normally would not want to do, but they do it because that's what God's called them to do. That's what the Bible says they're supposed to do. That's what the responsibility is. So I just want to stop and say, this is not a negative perspective. This really is encouraging. If you walk in the Spirit, you can be the kind of lady that you want to be. And it's very, very much of a blessing when you think about it. All right. There is a great need for this. And there's so many areas, faithfulness in our marriages, faithfulness to our children, faithfulness in the different aspects of ministry and giftedness that God has given to us. A woman often has got home management, oftentimes is handling finances to some degree. Then, of course, there's your walk with the Lord, in which you need to be faithful, your devotional life, being steady on that. And just every angle of life is really where faithfulness shows up. So there are some, do you ever struggle with faithfulness? Everybody here will. That's not it's not a exclusive problem of just a few, because we do have, we really do have the flesh battle us. So let's get down to just practical here. Here are some of the struggles. Tiredness. Anybody ever relate to that? And we get tired and we think, well, I just can't do that. I can't get up. I can't check on this. I can't run that errand. I can't study. I can't take time to be with God. I just can't do it. Well, the minute you say, I can't do it, you won't do it, because you've convinced yourself of that. And that here, when you're walking in the Spirit, is the Spirit going to say you can't do it if He wants you to do it? No, He's going to give you a perspective that, no, I should do it, and by God's powerful power, I can. I always enjoy meeting with the freshmen. They come over to my house on Labor Day after the picnic, and I hear I ask them, what do you want to see God do this semester in your life? And of course, you know, they're just coming in, but most of them will say, either I really want to know what it means to walk with God, but the number one matter is I would love to see somebody saved. I'd love to lead somebody to Christ. And if you were here on, was it a week ago, Wednesday, or last Wednesday, and then I, of course, heard a lot of the testimonies in chapel and so forth, but it was over and over, I prayed and God was working in my life and He enabled me to do it. In other words, what I normally would not do, I did. What I was scared to death and paralyzed to do, God overcame that. And by His power, I was able to talk to people, and then God did the miracle of bringing a person to faith in Christ. That's a big deal. That's the fruit of the Spirit, is faith. See, it's faith in action. They trusted the Lord. They prayed. They knew it was the right thing. And one of them in chapel the other day just said, this has just changed my whole perspective. God can help me. I can do what God wants me to do. It's so simple, but it's just like, whoa, what a revelation. I'm not alone in this. I'm not a failure. We are failures humanly, but they don't have to live a life of failure. And so that's a blessing. So tiredness, and just, you know how it is. Have you ever noticed when you're right up against something you really need to do, you can get a real case of fatigue? It's sort of unique. It just seems, I remember in years past, the closer I got to going out on a regular outreach time, the more tired I got. Or something I needed to do. You know, it's just funny how that is. So you become focused on your tiredness, and that's just, we can get out of that. Now, number two is this awful word called laziness. Okay, let's just be honest here. That's another fleshly barrier. Tiredness is a physical struggle. Laziness is a mental one. Laziness says, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to take the time to clean the house. I'd rather not have to cook today. I know I need to discipline my child, but I'm just not, I just don't want to do it. It's you get sort of enclosed in self and lose the perspective, and oftentimes the idea of serving and being what we ought to be, it just goes counter to what our flesh wants to do. And so if we cave into our flesh much because of tiredness or whatever, then that can become a habit of laziness in certain areas. Did you know somebody cannot be lazy in one area but lazy in another? Because it's a set of choices we make about what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. And so the Spirit of God will give us faithfulness to do what we ought to do. And then that leads to hopelessness. Because you begin to think, well, I can't do it. This is impossible because I have failed before, so therefore I'm a failure. I am not able to. Well, again, you hear me say it a lot. We're all failures, okay? And this is the failure club here in Fellowship Hall B today. I'm part of the failure club. In our flesh, how much can you do? No good thing. You can't do a thing, according to Romans chapter 7, in the flesh. But by the Spirit of God, we can do all things through Christ, who's the one that strengthens us. And so the Spirit of God gives us faith to believe that God will work, and then we take the steps one by one of faithfulness, faith-filled walking, faith-filled living. And it's very encouraging that God included faith in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, because God will quicken us, He will encourage us, He will give us illumination to be able to face some of the weaknesses. By the way, everybody has weaknesses and strengths, just even naturally. And God will enable us in the areas of our weakness that cause us not to believe Him to overcome that, and then to give us the power, if we're seriously walking with Him, to start having victory. And I'm telling you, it overcomes hopelessness with hope. You begin to have a confident expectation, that's what the word hope in the Bible means, that God is going to deliver you and that He is going to work. And so that is a great encouragement. And then there's this wonderful thing called procrastination. This is rugged, isn't it? Laziness, procrastination, all of these different things. It kills faithfulness with the attitude, I'll do it, but I will do it later. You know, a lot of Christians will salve their conscience and say, Lord, I agree with you and I'll do that tomorrow. Well, the minute you do that, when God wants you to do it today, that's disobedience. And now you've stepped out of being truly led by the Spirit. And that is a defeat. I think a lot of Christians hear a message in their mind. They agree with the message. They do not make provision to follow the message. And then they end up being defeated about it, even though they agreed. Their conscience is soothed or salved by the agreement with the message, but the unwillingness to take a step of faith to accomplish what God said then becomes a defeat. And then a person is somewhat fooled, thinking, you know, I agreed with the Lord. Yes, but what happened because you agreed with the Lord? There should be then life change. And listen, when you say no to the Lord enough times, you really begin to really get trapped in hopelessness. I can't. Well, so procrastination is something that causes a lot of people to really just get discouraged. And now, how do we, let me just take a sidestep here. The way you solve problems of, I've got more to do today than I can do, but I know I need to do this. What do I do today? What do I do tomorrow? Priority time management on the simplest of scales is a big key. When you decide under the leadership of the Lord, I'm going to take a step toward that goal tomorrow, and then I'm going to do it on Friday. Here's the times I'm going to do it, and you write it down and you keep those. That's not procrastination. That is priority planning, putting it where it can fit into your schedule. And if you can keep that priority planning and you follow that, then you will not get discouraged. And that's not procrastinating, that's planning, okay? But sometimes there are things that God's just saying do right now, and you just need to do it right now. Such as get up in the morning. Okay, that's always a help to do that, you know. Anyway, then another one is rationalization. Here's another one. It's a very subtle but evil perspective on life. And it says, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will take care of it. Somebody else will solve that problem. 1 Timothy 3 talks about the godly woman is faithful in all things. And it's amazing how we can fool ourselves. You know, the person we lie to the most is us. You know, we're really good at coming up with an excuse why we don't do what we should do. Well, you know, I really didn't sleep the best last night, so I need to sleep a little longer. And that may be true, but that's a lot of times rationalizing. And then you miss your devotions, okay, or whatever. I promised to go out and make some visits tonight, but I got a slight headache, so maybe it'd be best to not do that, because I probably won't talk very well if I go. You know, if I did that every time I felt that way, I wouldn't ever go out, you know. But it's amazing when you go out, all of a sudden you forget about the headache, and God empowers you, and you see God do a work, or whatever it is. You need to talk to somebody. You need to spend some time with your child, or... And by the way, for young mothers, it's discipline. You need to take the time to be consistent. Boy, that's a tough one. But rationalizing, it's amazing how we can fool ourselves. And so these different things should be overcome. And there's one more, well, there's a couple more that we'll talk about here. Apathy. They sort of go together. Apathy sort of gets developed by this. Apathy is, I don't care if I do it. Okay, it's not like I know I need to. I don't really care if I do. And it's almost like you're a little bit drugged with self. And you're just surviving. You're floating. It's not a good place to be. Apathy shrugs. And people can get in trouble. I don't care if the dishes get done. I don't care if I'm a good mom or wife. I don't care if I read my Bible. I don't care if I grow. Now, down deep, they probably do care, but you can get apathy just overwhelming you, and then hopelessness will set in because you see all of these things undone. I don't care if I'm faithful. It's a spiritual numbness, she says, that creeps in and corrupts the good that God intends for our life. And honestly, what happens in the next one that she brings up? Apathy then leads to rebellion. Because after a while, then you don't like to be under pressure of expectations, whatever you're around in your home or church or whatever. I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. And then you come up with reasons why I'm not going to do it. And that's eventually going to develop a hardness that will be a hardness against God. So, frankly, the way she develops this, I've never thought about it quite like she has. And she's really getting to the, she's putting a knife in here, dealing with some of the things that ladies face. But, you know, honestly, in working with ladies, I've certainly seen after a period of time of defeat how apathy, rebellion, rationalization, all of these things can come in. And there really is a hope. And down deep, it's a hopelessness, an insecurity. I'm defeated. Where do I go? And most people want out of it. And remember, He is in you if you're a believer, and He will give you faith for faithfulness if you will let Him have control of your life. You realize that every one of these things, if they are allowed to be in your life, are all flesh. It's just, you go deeper, deeper, deeper in the flesh. And let me just say, one of the things that is behind or under a lot of this is unconfessed sin or some other issue that's keeping you from being Spirit-filled. So you need to ask yourself, this is not indicating I'm Spirit-filled. So where is the problem? Where am I missing it? And it won't be long. The Lord, without you having to be introspective, will show you, here's this issue. You've got bitterness to your husband, or you've got bitterness with a child, or you've got something that you're, a habit that you have that's not good. You're coping the wrong way. You're watching way too much TV, and it's killing you. And the Lord can very clearly show you what is at the root problem of all of that. And so it's always a blessing to see faithful people, faithful women. And don't you thank the Lord for the faithful women that stuck by the stuff with the Lord Jesus? They were there all the way to the cross. They did not flee. They stood there and at risk of their lives, frankly. That's a very brutal situation. And John the Apostle, thankfully, did come. And they were there. They were faithful. They were faithful to... For the memory of Christ. They didn't fully understand all that He said, but they were at the grave. And then they were faithful in the upper room after He ascended, and they were praying for the Spirit of God to come, and they were there at Pentecost. You see, because of faithfulness, just think about this. They saw the resurrection. I mean, they were the first ones to evidence the resurrection, and they were the ones to be there when the Spirit of God fell upon the church. Pretty exciting. By the way, being faithful means that you're at the right place at the right time to see God's blessing. And that's what you want to be. You want to be one of those women that's at the foot of the cross, one of those women that's there when Jesus comes out of the grave, so to speak. I mean, there when the Spirit of God's working. Because you're faithful, you're where God wants you to be, and you see God do miracles. So here's some practical suggestions we'll end with. Call upon God in prayer and just say, Lord, I want you to... be in control, and I need your strengthening, and I ask that you will help me to be faithful. Then be faithful in the small things, little duties. The bigger things will come when you can have victory in the little things around the home and your schedule of life and so forth. Rely on God's strength. Start learning that He is able. It is, by the way, it's electrifying when you start living in God's strength. It is just an amazing, it's something we know, we talk about, we counsel somebody else, but when you're actually personally realizing His strength is real, He just helped me there, He just lifted me up there, He just did a miracle in me there, that's really thrilling. Fight self-indulgence. That is, that's temperance too, that the Spirit of God will enable you to do that. All laziness and idleness put away. In other words, any coping mechanisms or habits that clearly show laziness and idleness, just do not tolerate that. Begin at home, be faithful there, be faithful in all things, and just really let God make you be a blessing to other people. So lots of good thoughts there. Well, that gets down to it, doesn't it? We all, this is one of those groaner, things. Every one of us have parts. But the good news is, if you're walking in the Spirit, all of those things can be eliminated. That's pretty exciting. And that this is probably one of the most practical ways for us to realize where we are in our spiritual life. So instead of trying to do it yourself, no, yield to the Spirit. Let God work. Be in the Word. Trust Him. And God will change you. And God will really help you in all of these areas. These habits go deep, but God is in the work of renewing our minds.